call this session of the Senate Housing and Homelessness Prevention Committee to order. A quorum is present. We have three bills on the agenda today. Senator Champion, we will start with you. Senate File 3119.
Thank you so very much, Madam Chair, and I understand that you have a very robust calendar today, so we're going to be really brief. I want to first of all call your attention to a handout that's in your packet from for Urban Homeworks, and it will give you a lot of information. Following my brief words, we will also have testimony from the Executive Director of Urban Homeworks, and then after she testifies, and I have two testifiers for the amendment that you should all have also in your packet. So let me set. We are aware that Minnesota has one of the worst disparities in the nation in home ownership rates between BIPOC families and their white counterparts. I won't spend time discussing what you already know. However, I want to take the time to highlight why Urban Homeworks is a great entity to support. They've been together, they've been in existence for 27 years. They're a solid social justice organization that started in 1995 as a way to, as a volunteer-driven effort to reclaim and create dignified housing, and has grown into a fully staffed organization that owns, develops, manages, and sells affordable housing while maintaining trusted ties to the community through leadership development, volunteer opportunities, and tenant organization. What Urban Homework does in real estate, they own, manage all the things that I've talked about. They have roughly 136 units and 48 buildings across Minneapolis and St. Paul. 75% of their properties are in North Minneapolis, 22% in 22% in North in North Minneapolis and South, and 3% in St. Paul. Purchases are often identified through the community and preserved and rehabbed through volunteers. They've acquired a number of newly development properties or units, roughly 120 for affordable sale, and they've done just an incredible job of understanding the importance of housing and affordable housing, just to say the least. So we're asking for this appropriation, and we will stand for questions after the executive director takes 2 minutes in order to provide testimony. And with that, I would ask that you allow Aerosol Young, the executive director of Urban Works, to speak, and she can correct me because I always mess up her name.
Thank you so much, Senator Champion, for that introduction. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ms. Young. Please introduce yourself for the record and then present your testimony.
Absolutely. My name is Asale Sol Young. I'm the executive director of Urban Homeworks, and I am grateful for your time today. So we are seeking a direct appropriation for $10 million to expand initiatives pertaining to deeply affordable homeownership in Minneapolis communities with over 40% of residents identifying as BIPOC and nearly half of residents identifying, making less than 50% of the area median income. This request is specifically for gap funding to provide the financing gaps between the fair market value of a home and the affordability price required for a 50 to 60% AMI buyer, as well as the value gap for fair market value of a home and the total project cost. Why gap funding? Gap funding, as you all know, the gaps have risen exponentially, both from just general rising costs of inflation, competition from outside investors have all driven up the price of homes, as well as contributed to the lack of supply of affordable homes for owner occupancy. Public funding for home ownership has increased as well, and we are grateful for that, thank you. But no one funder will cover an entire gap. That leaves an affordable housing developer like Urban Homeworks spending 1 to 2 years seeking funding opportunities. Just as an example, if we were to apply for funding today, a home might not go to sale until 2027. Most developers, because of this, are focusing on 80 to 150%, 115% of the area median income. While this increases production, it completely misses our target population and any low median income home buyers. For example, in a place like North Minneapolis, where the AMI ranges from 40 to 60%, the average resident is not able to purchase an affordable home. So, I mean, essentially, I'm short on time, so I will wrap it up. Thank you for that reminder. We envision that we'll be able to develop around 30 additional homes with that $10 million appropriation. Thank you so much.
And just so that we're also clear, Madam Chair, Urban Homeworks has shown financial growth and stability with new executive leadership and has proven their ability to steward a multi-million dollar portfolio. So if you look in that packet, strictly at pages or slides 4 and 5, you will also see that information. So we think that's important so that if there's any doubt about their ability and what they've done, they have a track record. And with that, Madam Chair, we'll stand for any questions before we go to the amendment.
Members, do you have questions on this portion before we go to the amendment? Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Senator Champion, you have the A1?
That is the A1 amendment. Yes, your Madam Chair.
Senator Bolden moves the A1 amendment. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed? The amendment is adopted. Senator Champion.
Madam Chair, just so you know, Bill Wealth Minnesota has already testified earlier, and you already know that they have stability, a great portfolio. But one of the things that arose after we had a discussion was the work that they're doing in order to make sure that they're available across the state. And a great way by which to do that is make sure that they have this online portfolio and classes and modules that Mr. McGee can talk about for 2 minutes, and then the collaboration with StairStep, where they have a built-in infrastructure around churches and to do outreach in order to make sure that people across the state also know about this incredible opportunity so that they can reach more in a short period of time. So with that, Madam Chair, if David McGee, who is the president and CEO of Bill Wealth, can just reset us quickly, and then we can go, and you can talk about the online deal, and then Alpha Babington Johnson can talk about the other portion of it.
Welcome to the committee, gentlemen. Mr. McGee, if you would introduce yourself for the record and provide your testimony.
Madam Chair, my name is David McGee. I'm the executive director for Build Wealth Minnesota, and I did recently give testimony here, and I think you all know about our organization. We've been doing good work at trying to help families build sustainable social and economic wealth through long-term comprehensive education and coaching. And here recently, it took over a year, we actually developed, once the pandemic hit, we went virtual, and we actually found a tool and a really great tool to turn our education into an online education module. There's 10 modules that families can go in, and we actually were able to capture the essence of the programming that we've been doing for the last 14 years. And so we're hoping that we are able to go statewide with this new information. We're now getting into schools. We're doing some stuff at Hennepin Tech, and it's going over very well. And we're just hoping to expand the capacity for more families in the state.
Thank you very much, Mr. McGee. Appreciate you coming back to our committee. Mr. Babington Johnson, please introduce yourself for the record and present your testimony.
Good afternoon, Chair Port. My name is Alfred Babington Johnson. I'm the founder and CEO of the StairStep Initiative and convener of His Works United, which is the largest ecumenical collaboration of African American churches in the state. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to give testimony regarding the importance of Senate File 3119 and this amendment. Minnesota is a state whose quality of life and standard of living is an envy for most others. This truth is in counterpoint to the fact that disparities in health, life expectancy, and wealth for African Americans is a matter of embarrassment. If we are to move beyond a society in which there is a great gulf fixed between haves and have-nots, and in which aberrant social behaviors and despair are the crop that grow, we need intentional, targeted efforts to close the gaps and to plant hope in all Minnesotans. At StairStep, we are committed to solutions and not continuous hand-wringing or finger-pointing. What we are discussing today is an empowerment and a capacity-building initiative. Home ownership is a proven tactic for generational wealth development. The percentage of home ownership for white Minnesotans is almost 75%, compared to a bit over 25% for African Americans. Build Wealth Minnesota has created a proven set of trainings and financial strategies that have been efficient in creating new African-American homeowners. Consistent with the realization that we need to replicate and broaden delivery of effective approaches that close disparities, StairStep Foundation and His Works United are partnering with Build Wealth to deploy an online training version of a highly effective home ownership curriculum. Our goal will be mobilization of churches throughout the state to facilitate the curriculum to up to 2,000 people each year for 2 years. This will be a powerful mechanism to aid in the accomplishment of the 9,000 Equities Program, but more importantly, this is the approach that carries broader benefit. The intentional collaboration with the African American Church that has a proven history as an advocate and a communications delivery tool for our community is a key to the broader benefit. This partnership intends to lift the traditional moral and spiritual and inspirational voice to a new platform of relevance that will benefit all. Achieving wealth is more than simple economic enterprise. We seek to build community. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Members, do you have questions? Seeing none, my intention is to lay this over for possible inclusion in our omnibus. Thank you very much for testifying. The bill is laid over.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
I am going to hand off to Senator Bolden.
Our next bill is Senate File 1093. Senator Port, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just checking. I don't see my testifier in the room.
Senator Port, would you like to take up your amendments first?
Nope, we're here. We're good. I am sure. Though I guess I do have an A1 amendment, so we can move that. It is an author's amendment that removes sections of the bill that we're leaving out for this year and gets it in the shape that we want. So, yes, I would move the A1, please.
Senator Port moves the A1 amendment. Any questions, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. And the motion passes and the amendment is adopted. Senator Port.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, members, Senate File 1093 is the Comprehensive Housing Spectrum Act, which includes policy and resources that provide a multifaceted approach to addressing housing challenges unique to the various regions and communities across the state. We've heard in this committee of the great need for a broader state and local partnership to ensuring that communities have the tools and resources available to address their unique housing needs, and that these look different from community to community. This bill seeks to address this by providing tools and resources to support four key principles. One, to address the full spectrum of housing from deeply affordable, preservation, and everything in between to the construction of new market rate housing. Number two is to support the local innovation that cities are deploying to address needs and promote development. Third is to provide incentives to cities that follow local efforts that meet diverse local needs rather than mandates or broad preemption. And number four is to provide community-specific solutions that are sensitive to different housing needs across the state. While the bill includes resources and policy that this committee has already heard, including additional resources for the Challenge Fund and Workforce Development Program, matching grants for local housing trust funds, and assistance for naturally occurring affordable housing and capital investment resources, I want to highlight two new provisions in the bill specifically. The Housing Cost Reduction Incentive Program would provide grants to local units of government that waive fees or amend certain requirements for qualified housing through local fee waivers and inclusionary housing programs. We heard from the city of Kasan earlier this session that picked up the cost for water and sewer infrastructure and waived fees for a new affordable workforce housing development. that it's an important lever that the cities can pull, but it's also important to note that the absence or reduction of a fee doesn't mean that the cost goes away for the city, and it's important that the state play a role in helping to incentivize this innovation. The second new piece is the Greater Minnesota Infrastructure Grant Program. We also heard, especially in Greater Minnesota communities, that the single largest cost for new development and the biggest challenge in attracting new development is the cost of putting in the infrastructure. This program would help specifically Greater Minnesota communities that are trying to attract new workforce housing projects. I'd also like to point out that while the A1 amendment removed certain tax, local government, and bonding provisions for procedural reasons, those items are also a critical part of the conversation around comprehensive solutions for housing that are sensitive to local needs, and I look forward to continuing to have those conversations on those components as well in the future. And then, Madam Chair, I do have a testifier.
Thank you, Senator Port. And I also will just note, it appears you also have an A2 amendment. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. I do have an A2 as well.
Would you like to address that before we hear from your testifier?
Yes. Madam Chair, this puts in a cap on the amount that can be given to a city under the incentive program of $250,000.
All right, Senator Port moves the A2 amendment. Any questions about the amendment, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. The amendment motion passes and the amendment is adopted. All right, Mr. Lightfoot, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Good afternoon. My name is Daniel Lightfoot with the League of Minnesota Cities. Thank you for the opportunity to provide some very brief comments on Senate File 1093 as amended. I think Chair Port did a fantastic job in describing the need for a comprehensive approach and some of the tools and resources that we have in this bill to support local units of government that are trying to address their locally identified housing needs. We set out a couple of years ago during the last legislative session to bring together a group of policy and resources that really would address the full spectrum of housing. Cities need to ensure a diverse array of housing stock for their residents, and that includes shelter capital, multifamily rental, multifamily ownership, single family ownership, all the way on up to new market rate housing and the preservation of that housing stock across the board. We strongly believe that the provisions in Senate File 1093, especially the two that Chair Port mentioned, will be critical in addressing some of the challenges that cities across the state are experiencing when it comes to housing availability. Some of that has come from conversations with members on this committee, in conversations with Senator Dreheim and others on the need for infrastructure and resources to attract especially workforce development in Greater Minnesota areas that is often cost prohibitive to attract some of that development, as well as the ability to have the state support some of the innovation at the local level, primarily when a city waives fees or approves some level of variance. They're doing so for a public benefit, generally affordability or higher levels of density, and we felt that the state has a good role to play in incentivizing those types of activities. So with that, Madam Chair, members, happy to hang around for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lightfoot. Any other comments, Senator Port, before we move to questions?
Happy to answer questions.
Okay, members, discussion or questions? Senator Dreheim.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Senator Port, for bringing the bill forward. A couple questions about manufactured home or pre-engineered homes. Is there anything in here for that segment of our housing ecosystem?
Senator Port.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Dreheim. It's an allowable use under the HIB provision. So that's one of the first provisions in the bill is HIBs. That's one of the uses that we put in a few years ago that could be in there. There's nothing specifically to that. I will say we do have other bills that will be included in our omnibus that will cover that area.
Senator Dreheim.
Thank you. And thank you for that. And I know that this will be progressing and you're working on things. So I don't want to spend a lot of the committee's time on that. But I would encourage us to look at all types of housing on as a whole as we move forward. And I think there are a couple changes that could be done on here to include that segment. And then, Chair, if I could ask nonpartisan about the cost of HIPs, if we could maybe have a tutorial for the committee to make sure everybody's on the same page.
Mr. Mueller.
Madam Chair, and Senator Dreheim and rest of the members of the committee, yes, the HIBs authorization, the debt service payments generally are about 8% of the amount authorized in a single year, and then about 4% the first year. So in this case, under this bill, the HIBs authorization is $400 million. So the first debt service payment would be in 2026 of 4%, so that would be about $16 million. And then after that, it would be $32 million ongoing. So that would contribute to the additional debt service that the state is paying from the general fund for previous authorizations.
Senator Dreheim.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure the group understood that, you know, we're looking at, what, 624, I think, if my math is correct, over the 20-year period. And as you look, we've done quite a bit of bonding the last few years. It's going to compound, and I just want to make sure everybody understands our debt, because we will not always have a surplus. So thank you for the time, Chair. And thank you, Mr. Mueller.
Any response, comments on our report?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Dreheim. I'm sure you've seen our targets and our lack of tails in our targets. So this is obviously something we are considering very deeply and what that will mean for our ability or our choice to do cash for HIBs instead because we just have such a tiny target in our tails.
Senator Lucero.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Port, for the bill. You may have addressed this, and I may have missed it, but on line 5.13, there is a blank for the percent, and I just wanted to see if you had thoughts on what that should be, or did you already address that?
Senator Port.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Lightfoot.
Madam Chair, Senator Lucero, yeah, thank you. The reference to inclusionary housing programs is intended to be broad because there are different programs at different city levels that require a certain level of percentage of the new construction to be affordable. So that is still left blank. It does generally vary, so we felt that you know, there wouldn't necessarily need to be a specific percentage, only that the definition of inclusionary housing programs require that there is a certain percentage of new construction be made affordable. But we can certainly have discussions on what that percentage looks like. I think we wanted to make sure that we captured the varying degrees of affordability for the different levels of inclusionary housing programs that local units of government deploy.
Senator Lucero.
Okay, so it sounds like it's still a work in progress, even with the amendment. Do you have a rough idea? Are we talking 10%, 80%, if there's any idea?
Madam Chair.
Senator Port.
Thank you, and Madam Chair and Senator Lucero, definitely towards the lower end of that. We're reaching out to and having conversations with communities who have exclusionary or inclusionary housing programs to see what their requirements are. We want to be more inclusive of the programs that cities are running, but we do want there to be a baseline requirement. So we're working with them to get sort of what's out there right now before we put in a number.
Senator Lucero. Any other questions, members? Any final comments then, Senator Port?
You know, members, as we've talked about this whole session, housing is a comprehensive problem. There is not a single solution, so this puts a few more tools on the table that will help communities in different ways. I think there is not a one-size-fits-all silver bullet solution for affordable housing throughout the state, and so this adds a few more tools to our tool belt to address this crisis in ways that fits the needs of communities.
Thank you, Senator Port. And with that, we will lay Senate File 1093 over for further consideration. And the third item on our agenda is Senate File 2844. Senator Port, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is going to be everybody's favorite bill, I can tell already. Madam Chair, I do have an A1, please.
Senator Port moves the A1 amendment, which should be in members' packets. Any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion passes and the amendment is adopted. Senator Port.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, as we've been discussing in our committee over the last few months, there is increased substantial need across the state for ongoing rental assistance, ongoing investment into housing. We did get a substantial one-time target for our committee, and we got very, very little ongoing in the tails. Today, I am bringing in front of you a quarter-cent sales tax increase in the metro counties that would be dedicated to affordable housing in two different ways, one directly through the counties and their affordable housing program, and the other through a statewide voucher program to help offset the cost of rent. This bill has some hurdles to go before we get it in our final project and is part of an ongoing conversation, but I wanted to make sure that we put it on the table in front of us as we are talking through the realities of what our communities are facing. Affordable housing, rental, the ability for families to afford the rent that they have and stay in their homes is out of reach for too many Minnesotans. And I think we had an opportunity this year to really make a long-term investment in housing. And with our budget targets, we're not. And so, you know, it feels like we at least need to have the conversation about what it would look like to have dedicated, stable revenue going directly into housing. And with that, Madam Chair, I'd ask if we could move to my testifiers.
Certainly, Senator Port. First on the list is Marion Green. After that will be Elizabeth Glidden. Ms. Green, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair and Senators. My name is Marion Green, and I'm the Hennepin County Commissioner for District 3. Thank you so much for the opportunity to testify today on Senate File 2844, and thank you, Senator Port, for authoring this bill. Communities in every corner of Hennepin County are struggling as housing costs continue to rise faster than wages. Many of the residents impacted are those who can least afford it, including seniors who are hoping to age in place, young families, and immigrant families in their first home. In Hennepin County, we see the crisis in the number of families entering our shelter system, outpacing the number of families exiting the shelter system at a ratio of 2-1 since the end of the statewide emergency rental assistance program. We strongly support efforts to keep people in their homes and build and preserve housing at all levels of affordability, but especially targeted to those that face the greatest barriers to access. Hennepin has the largest share of cost-burdened households in Minnesota. That is, those who have to pay more than 30% of family income for housing. And these households are disproportionately Black, Indigenous, or households of color. we simply experience a severe lack of affordable housing options. According to the latest U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD data, 132,000 households in Hennepin County are cost burdened. The problem is most acute for the lowest income residents, for whom only 14,000 units in the county are deeply affordable. The numbers just don't match up. Hennepin County is home to more than 53,000 renting households with income less than 30% of area median income, and only 18,700 units affordable to them. So 53,000 households looking for a place to live and 18,000 units affordable. Hennepin County is dedicated to addressing affordable housing, and we are well positioned to deliver these funds. Our Housing and Redevelopment Authority works across the housing continuum to support our most challenged residents, and we offer grant opportunities to support housing and development projects throughout the county. During our latest round of funding for affordable multifamily rental projects, county programming was oversubscribed four times. So $33.5 million in requests for a meager $8.1 million available for local resources. Also, sustainable rental assistance is the only way to reduce the number of extremely low and low-income households experiencing housing cost burden who are at the greatest risk of homelessness. We support the Metro sales tax to provide stable, ongoing funding to meet this crisis to ensure that our residents remain stably housed, healthy, educated, and independent. Our residents desperately need these funds now. Madam Chair and members, thank you again for the opportunity to testify before you.
Thank you, Ms. Green. We'll next hear from Elizabeth Glidden, and after that, Ben Helvick Anderson. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Glidden. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you very much. My name is Elizabeth Glidden, and I am the Deputy Executive Director of the Minnesota Housing Partnership. We are an organization that works to advance public policy around housing, produces original research, and we provide community development services that are focused on serving rural communities and Native nations in Minnesota and beyond. We appreciate that a conversation about dedicated funding for housing is long overdue. We need a long-term plan for housing because what is happening today is not working. I know that this committee has heard many presentations about the problem. And we do appreciate that there has been a bold solution that will address this biennium. But yet we know that year after year, we are not seeing that kind of funding. Instead, underfunding and underutilization and underinvestment in housing is becoming normalized. When we don't sufficiently support Minnesotans facing homelessness and housing insecurity, that comes at a greater cost than the solutions that we know can work. We talk about eliminating child poverty, reducing and eliminating housing disparities, improving education and health. All of these happen with housing. So we support this bill, Senate File 2844, as an essential first step in funding our housing needs into the future. We like the approach of utilizing the sales tax to produce predictable revenues. We like ensuring that rental assistance will be available statewide. What we would encourage, however, is thinking even beyond this proposal. A best approach, and one that we have been advocating for with a growing and broad coalition, is a statewide approach. We are actually here today with a group that is working on a proposal for a constitutional amendment for housing. It is a group from around the state that is advocating for something very similar, raising sales tax and able to fund our housing needs around the state. Because we work in rural communities frequently, we know that we hear their needs for housing time and again, and that there is desire for a solution that will work all across the state. So thank you very much to the author, and thank you for having the conversation in this committee. We think this is a conversation that must occur, and we need dedicated funding for housing.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Glidden. Our last testifier will be Ben Helvick Anderson. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Ben Helvick Anderson. I'm the Vice President of Policy and Organizing at Beacon Interfaith Housing Collaborative. Beacon Interfaith Housing Collaborative is a housing nonprofit and a collaborative of over 100 congregations dedicated to the vision that all people have a home. We're also one of the leaders of the Bring It Home Minnesota campaign, working for universal rental assistance in the state. We are supportive of, as Beacon, of this proposal because of the dedicated revenue that is needed to support rental assistance and how necessary and important that is in our state. We know that over 214,000 Minnesota renter households sacrifice necessities like food and health care every day because they make 50% or less of the area median income and are cost burden, meaning they pay over 30% of their income to rent. Of that number, 133,000 are extremely low income, earning 30% AMI or less. Housing instability, which impacts across the state and which direct rental assistance would alleviate, impacts individuals and families, seniors and children, employers and employees in every part of the state. Over a third of extremely low income adults are in the labor force. They are the workers in Minnesota businesses that are clamoring for, that Minnesota businesses are clamoring for, including nursing assistants, personal care attendants, child care providers, meat packers, farm workers, fast food, rental, and hospitality employers. So without needed rental assistance, these folks are living and working and unable to afford their housing. Rental assistance also builds homes. So little, 30% AMI and affordable housing is built across the state because of the lack of rental assistance. Without rental assistance, you cannot build and utilize the resources available of capital to fully deliver 30 AMI housing because it's not operational and it doesn't work. And so we need passing and creating more vouchers in the metro and across the state would also spur the development of more 30 AMI housing for those at the lowest income. So in summary, this is greatly needed. We need a statewide program. We need as a solution as big as the problem. And this bill creating a dedicated revenue source will begin the journey to that and is a great start. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Helvick Anderson. Senator Ports, any other comments before we move to questions?
I will just note that this is an ongoing conversation in lots of different levels. I will note that I've talked to some of our Greater Minnesota members as well as the conversation about a statewide tax was brought up. And there was more openness to it than I expected, honestly. But we have decided at this point this year to stay, if we move this forward, to stay with a metro-wide sales tax so that we have the time in the interim to go out to communities and talk with them about their needs, build support around the state. Obviously, this has come up rather rapidly. And so that's the intention, is to lay it over, consider these conversations, continue having them over the next week before we move our omnibus bill and get to an answer before then.
Very good. Questions and discussion, members? Senator Lucero.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Port, for this bill, as it won't come as a shock to you. I'm adamantly opposed to this, and I speak for thousands, if not millions, across the state in terms of the proposal for a statewide sales tax increase. I know that this legislation looks at a proposal for just a metro-wide sales tax, as you just mentioned. But the reality is we have a budget surplus already in the state of Minnesota. The budget surplus is the direct result of overtaxation already. And Minnesotans are being crushed by inflationary costs and the expensive costs of pretty much everything in their day-to-day lives. And this is just another example of us as the legislature, and specifically the majority, not having a proposal to deal with the root cause of the high cost of housing. And I heard the testifiers make mention that this will solve it. No, it doesn't. This does not solve the root cause. This is nothing more than a Band-Aid on high rent or high cost of construction
and subsidizing that without actually dealing with the high cost of rent or housing to begin with. So, Madam Chair and Madam Chair, that's where our focus needs to be, not to continue to pile on the burden of already overtaxed Minnesotans. Thank you.
Senator Port's response.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Lucero. I understand your point of view. I will say that we have significant one-time money, which is helpful for us to be able to do exactly what Mr. Helvig-Anderson was talking about with building increased. We are far, far below demand. Like many, a decade behind in demand. And we can build that, but as Mr. Helvig-Anderson mentioned, the desire, the developers, the need for building affordable housing at that 30% AMI and under, if people cannot afford that, it's not being built right now. And it will only be built with state investment. It is a great use of our one-time money. But if we use our one-time money for supply as is needed, it doesn't leave us the money to help people actually pay this. What is a huge portion of their income for too many families is being paid towards housing. And for a small additional sales tax to be able to lift that burden of the families who are overburdened, paying more than 30%, in some cases 50% of their housing, of their income to housing, it's a critical need.
Other questions or discussion? Senator Muhammad.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it will come to no surprise to anyone that I support this. I know Senator Lucero is laughing. It will come no surprise that I support this. And I think I talked a lot about why the rental assistance bill was really important to me on a personal level and to folks in our state who live here. We cannot talk about, I think we all actually collectively agree that we need to build more and that we are certainly not meeting the demands that our state needs, but we can't talk about meeting that without talking about how folks are going to be able to afford it. And I think this gives us a step to get to that. I certainly wish we would have gotten a $3 billion budget ongoing, but that's just my hopes and dreams. I think that this is a small step, and I also certainly we'll put a plug in and think that we should do the constitutional amendment so that we can deal with the longevity of this issue. We're going to talk about people living outside, struggling. What does it mean to meet the demand? It isn't just about building. It's about families who are struggling that no matter how much you build, they cannot afford it. And I thank you for bringing this, Senator Port, and I hope that we can all support it. And maybe Senator Lucero and I will come together on the constitutional amendment.
Senator Pa.
I just want to echo Senator Muhammad's comments that it should be no surprise they support this as well. Thank you so much for bringing this forward. We do need stable and consistent funding for rental assistance and to help our Minnesotans who are struggling. So thank you so much for bringing this. I strongly support it, and I hope that we will be able to do something this year.
Any other discussion or questions, members? All right. Seeing none, I will just echo thank you, Senator Port, for bringing this bill forward. I think, you know, as has been said, we need to look at solutions that are as big as the problem. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for this ongoing conversation and potential solution. So any closing comments?
Thank you for members for hearing this on very short notice. We are trying to put all the tools on the table that we can have to address the very, very big need that's in front of us. And we look forward to being back with you next week with an omnibus bill that hopefully addresses the full scope of the problem.
Very good. So Senate File 2844 will be laid over for further consideration as amended.
As amended.
Thank you. And just as was shared, a reminder that next week we will be hearing our omnibus finance bill. This will occur on Thursday the 30th. If we need more than the regular 2 hours, we will come back to this room at 5:30 that evening. And the goal is to post language for the omnibus by Tuesday evening or Wednesday morning. So as soon as we can, we will. Senator Draheim.
Thank you, Chair. And I would ask Senator Port to give us more than one day. Customarily, we've had pretty much two hearings. One day to go through it, walk through it, and then come back. So if we're going to do that, we should probably have another hearing scheduled, or at least give us 2 days to review the bill if we're only going to have one day. Thank you.
Senator Port.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Draheim, it is very much our intention to get it to you on Tuesday. We are in relatively okay shape to get it there. And we'll get it to you as soon as we possibly can. We do have the evening reserved as well, so we could do a morning or a regular afternoon hearing and another evening hearing, but we have been asked to do it all in one day.
Senator Draheim.
Thank you. I'm just expressing my concern with that plan. As the 6 years I've been here, we've always tried to do it 2 days to give the minority party time and the general public time to digest and have input on the bill. So I'm just asking if we could have 48 hours at least for the public to look over the bill before we have a hearing. Thank you.
Noted, Senator Draheim. Thank you. And members, seeing no other business before us today, we are adjourned.